is Emily Wright, features and global editor of EG, and I'm joined today in a cab by Brendan Wallace, co-founder of LA-based pure prop tech fund Fifth Wall, and Ross Bailey of Appear Here. How are you guys?
Good, thanks for having me.
Good to have you here, Emily.
It's no coincidence that you guys are in a cab together, is it?
No, it's not. I'm actually here visiting Ross and Appear
Yes,
Here.
Yes, I should have said we are in London. Yep.
And we're excited to announce that we just made an investment in Appear Here, and really excited about Ross and Appear Here's U.S. launch.
And this is Fifth Wall's first European investment, is that right?
It is. It's our first investment outside North America.
And what was it about Appear Here that's caught your attention?
I think a number of things. One, obviously, we were incredibly impressed with the team and the product and the traction that Ross has here in the UK. And I think the dynamic of helping these smaller upstart brands get a foothold in physical retail to build out their brand and their experiences and their products in really creative ways and in partnership with landlords, it really excited us what he'd done here, and we saw an opportunity to help accelerate that in the U.S. Obviously, the owners, the incumbents are quite different, but the dynamics are the same. And this was a really interesting case of, Ross had done an amazing job of building up really strong relationships in the U.K., and we wanted to accelerate that in the U.S.
Great. And Ross, can you give me a little bit of an idea as to how this all came about?
Yeah, so I think that, recently we closed a new fundraising round, which had... end of May, and it had one of the biggest VC funds in Europe investing. We then had the biggest public real estate company in the world put in some money as well, which was Simon Property Group, and some other really cool guys. And throughout that process, the Fifth Wall guys' names just kept coming up as someone in the space that was, from a real estate background and a venture capital background, sort of leading the way. So we felt that, we had the biggest VC fund in Europe, we had the biggest real estate company, it'd be awesome to have the sort of number one prop VC fund involved as well. And I had a meeting with one of the big US landlords, which was Macerich, and interestingly, it was actually one of the UK guys that we'd worked with at Hammerson, who had now moved there. And he wanted a meeting, he wanted to talk about how we could do what we'd done with Hammerson with them. And as part of that meeting, following on from it, I got a call from Brendan. They sort of said, look, we've heard about you from Macerich, let's talk. And obviously we were very familiar with what the guys at Fifth Wall were doing and excited by what they were doing. And a few weeks later, we agreed a deal.
And I'm just quite interested to sort of find out a little bit about how it's going to play out now. So obviously there's the North America connection, obviously that's where Fifth Wall is based in LA, and then there's the European connection as well. So how do you guys see that playing out? Presumably one will fuel the other?
Yeah, I think one will fuel the other. I think for us, right now our focus is London, Paris, New York, and they're three of the biggest retail cities in the world. And we've only been in Paris and New York for a few months, but we're now number one in those three core markets. And I think from those three gateway cities, it gives us the ability to start following our vision, right? And the mission that we've set out, which is how do we create a global network of space that anyone with an idea can help make that happen, make their ideas happen. And I think that, Fifth Wall can help really open up much of the long tail and the really exciting landlords across the US. And I think that regardless, the reason we focus on those three gateway cities is that the real estate industry is quite connected. And the way that we've managed to build up the biggest landlords in Paris and the biggest landlords in New York is down to what we've done in London and vice versa. And I think that hopefully that will continue at only an accelerated pace as we work with our partners at Fifth Wall.
And Brendan, we obviously spoke before, maybe a month ago now, with you and Brad, about the launch of Fifth Wall. And we talked a bit about, the sorts of stuff that you'd be looking into. And I think you mentioned capital markets, you mentioned sort of the likes of, service offices and a lot on the commercial side of things. What are your thoughts on the retail sector? I think that you were saying earlier that, there's a lot of talk around the retail sector being dead, but actually it's not dead, it's just changing.
Yeah, I think that's right. If you read the press and you formed your view of what's happening, broadly speaking, to retail real estate and just retail as a whole, you'd think it's dying, right? That basically retail is dying and Amazon is taking over the world. And I think the actual story is more complicated than that. I think there's been almost like a miniaturization of brands that's happened, and the number of brands that are being started, the speed with which they're growing, and the ways that they want to grow, which previously I think was all online. Like, you saw a lot of these digitally native brands growing online, scaling online. But I think the experience of, you know, concepts like Bonobos and Warby Parker, where those brands have effectively leveraged having a physical presence as a way to build a relationship with their customers. Sorry, we almost just ran into someone on the road here.
I was wondering how long it was going to be before the cab element of this podcast made itself clear.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, how Bonobos and how Warby Parker leverage like that omni-channel, like, virtuous cycle to really create a very powerful brand. And there's all these young brands that now want to copy that. And so while a mall might be losing a lot of its inline tenants, like a Gap or a, you know, Limited, right, that are kind of the age of those stores might be disappearing, the age of these new smaller format stores where it's much more about curation and it's less about just like throwing your products into a store and hawking them to customers. It's much more about building a brand identity, building a set of differentiated experiences, and just building a place where people can go to do more than just buy, right? They can experience brands and they can experience products in ways they haven't before. That really excited us about Appear Here because it was so right down the fairway of that thesis.
And we were talking earlier as well around, you think of tech and you think of the States. So what is it about? I think, Ross, you were talking about this idea of, you know, fashion particularly and the link that fashion has to Europe. How do you see that sort of playing into each other to the benefit of this deal? You know, you've got the States, which is known really for tech, and then you've got the fashion coming out of Europe.
Look, we're ambitious. We want to build a global multi-billion pound technology company. That's what we're focused on, and that's what we're going towards. And we're either going to do that or we're going to cease to exist. But that's the mission that we're focused on. And I think the point is, you often think about the US as being huge technology companies. But actually, when you look at fashion and you look at the luxury sector in particular, which is, again, a bit like real estate, seen as being quite traditional and quite conservative, the businesses that have built incredibly successful technology companies in those space are European, whether it be Net-a-Porter, Yuke's, or Farfetch. These are brands that have managed to change behavior and get a conservative audience on side and make that work in both Europe and the US. And I think Europe is very good at building brands. And I think that Appear Here isn't just about renting empty spaces, it's about building a brand and creating a new industry and changing behavior.
And tell me a bit about how the North American side of the business is going at the moment.
Oh, super exciting. So we launched Paris and New York properly this year. So we've now got offices in the two cities. And both cities are doing better than we forecast, but New York's done better, I think, than the first 2 years of London. So already we've locked up all the biggest landlords, from Blackstone and Simon Property Group to all the major New York families. And we've started, you know, making ideas happen for some of the most incredible brands.
And that was, from our perspective, that was one of the things that really impressed us about Appear Here, was just the speed with which Ross and the team built those relationships with these major incumbents. I mean, frankly, that's a lot of why we step into companies, right, is to help them build those very relationships. But I think landlords were seeing the ROI, they were seeing the opportunity, and I think everyone knew there was this white space and they just didn't really have a product or a solution to fill it. And we just kept hearing that Appear Here served that need and served that white space. I would say we look for situations where through one or many of our strategic relationships, we can dramatically accelerate the growth of a business. And so sometimes that is major enterprise contracts. So we obviously invested in VTS, which is signing big, long-term enterprise SaaS deals. Sometimes that's just about making a quick connection that ultimately leads to a storefront being established. And so as I think about a peer here, what we would like to do is help Ross accelerate his existing growth in major landlords, especially malls like Macerich, which is one of our LPs, but then also that long tail of U.S. owners. Part of what's been nice about our launch is that we have inbound every day from tons and tons of smaller scale real estate owners across the U.S., across all asset classes. And so it's a very easy process for us to say, hey, have you heard of a peer here? How much retail real estate do you have? You know, is this something you're thinking about? And my suspicion is that there's going to be quite a bit of interest in it.
That's good news. It must be something that you're pleased to hear, Ross, or is that something that you would expect to hear?
No, I mean, look, we're excited, and I think there's a reason, you know, we were excited to do a deal when we weren't out actively fundraising. It's because we think that Fifth will be fantastic partners for the future, and Brendan in particular. And I think, you know, like Brendan said, it's such an exciting time at the moment, both from an idea that real estate, you know, is going through these huge structural changes, and that technology, albeit a peer here or any other business vertical, it feels like the timing's right and the industry is getting it. And separately from that, for our business, alongside commercial property and real estate, there's this huge change happening with retail, and everyone's scratching their heads and sort of questioning what the future is. And again, I think a peer here plays into that future. And naturally, it made sense to work with partners that see the world in a similar vein.
Oops, sorry, carry on.
I was going to say, one of the things that, you know, we really like about a peer here is it's very consistent with this theme we see for a lot of new real estate tech companies, or I think as you call them here, prop tech companies, mm-hmm. which is the ability to strip away the complexity of hard asset ownership from the service of real estate. So we've invested in a company like Clutter, right, which is doing on-demand self-storage. So it's kind of stripping away asset ownership, the business of owning physical self-storage facilities from the business of storing people's stuff. And I think we also invest in a company like Beta, which is also in the retail space, but they've miniaturized the storefronts for some of these makers to even a more extreme scale than a peer here is doing. And I think what a peer here is doing is it's providing that really high touch service level to a brand that doesn't want to become experts in building out spaces. Like, if you're great at making some new product or you're a designer, you don't want to look at a 500-page lease. You don't want to deal with HVAC systems and negotiating tenant allowances. That's a complexity that's just not core to what you do. And so it's almost like a peer here provides that service layer of like on-demand retail real estate as you need it that scales with you, which I think is really exciting, and you're going to see that across a lot of asset classes. But it's particularly relevant and topical now because retail is changing so rapidly.
Yeah.
And that's what excited us.
And I think as well what excites me at the moment is, separately even to prop tech and real estate, it's that if this was any technology VC fund, right, and they went, hang on a minute, to do one transaction, there's 5 or 6 intermediaries. There's multiple fee earners. This process takes 6 to 12 months to do a deal. And there's a technology solution that gets rid of those intermediaries, standardizes the process, and makes it happen averagely in 48 hours. I think you'd be going, that's an exciting, disruptive model. And that's what we're doing in this sector. We're finding a way to make something that was previously inaccessible, right? The reason there's suddenly so many more retailers isn't necessarily that more retailers are coming along. It's that there are people that are able to do something that they couldn't before. And if we had an empty shop before, you had to have a 5-10-year lease. If you're a new brand, you had to prove that you had that money in your bank account, put up an entire year up front. And now suddenly, you can rent a shop for a week, which means that the pool of potential occupiers has exponentially grown because the model's changed. And I think that's what excites me about the business, that we're able to bring people to space that previously would have never even considered it.
And it's almost like if you think about an accelerator, right? For any early stage company, usually what they're providing is kind of capital or workspace or access to, you know, an outsourced CFO, but like all these kind of general services that we know help support the growth of an early stage business. If you're a brand, one of the things that really matters is having access to physical selling space and having access to customers and foot traffic.
Yeah, and I'd say more that latter even, that the way Google AdWords and those things have become so expensive. So if you're a fashion brand today, how do you compete? How do you compete against all the fashion brands that exist in the world for just that one page of Google or Facebook or whatever it is? And what we're able to do is help those brands not just find selling space, but find a new channel to get in front of an audience. And that's, to me, where retail is becoming media. And actually, I think what really excites me on the landlord side is that you've got landlords that talk all the time about location and how important the location is. But the only reason location's important is because of audience. And it feels that often that real estate companies have forgotten that audience is the true thing that drives the location. And when you've got lots of 20-year leases, especially in today's day and age, when brands are going from hot and not and areas are going from the coolest place to the uncoolest place, you need fresh content to keep that place interesting. And I think we need landlords to start thinking much more like media owners.
Well, one of the things I remember hearing at your office this morning, Ross, which I thought was fascinating, was the idea, or the term you used, of like placemaking. The idea that you can take a street that might not be a hot retail street at the time and just put in a number of brands and cycle them through there and find that natural fit and that natural curation, and it becomes a retail street. It's a de facto mall almost.
Well, one of the most interesting things, Emily, that we haven't even, which we've sort of never spoken to anyone about, but it plays into what Brandon just said, is that right now, if somebody rents on a pier here in London, averagely they'll make 1.9 to 2 times what they'd make on a long-term lease. So in any part of London, if you're listing on a pier here, that's how we can increase your yields. But then what we find now is that when we've got a street where the frequency of a pier here inventory goes over a certain percentage, so we've got more inventory in any given street, suddenly that can go from 3 to 6 times. So a street that's got more a pier here use and more people appearing and disappearing will actually, for the whole street, drive rents to a certain level, but on the appear here units, 3 to 5x, or to 6x, sorry, what they'd get on a traditional lease. I think the moment that starts to become more common and people start to understand that, the moment you'll see more landlords moving away from the traditional long-term lease that they're still hoping out for.
So we're just going over the Thames now. It's actually a really lovely day. You've chosen a nice time to come to London because it was pouring with rain last week.
It was.
But I can see that the destination is looming. So very quickly then, is this gonna kind of be a gateway to more interest and more investment in European companies?
I think it could be. I think Appear Here was a really unique situation where we just really believed in the team and the product, and we just saw this unique ability to help. And so it wasn't quite that we were looking for a European investment, but I think we're very happy that Appear Here is the first. And look, if there's more opportunities out there, we're definitely open to it. But for right now, we're just focused on making sure Appear Here can expand quickly in the U.S.
And, oh, this is so cheesy, but we have appeared here. We've arrived.
No.
So I was wondering whether to go for it, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to do it. Thank you both so much for joining me. And I've always wanted to do a podcast in a cab, so that's something to check off my list. Thanks so much.
Cheers, Emily. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you.